my pleasure to be here with you this morning. I'm here on behalf of Concordia University as the new Director of Church Relations. This was kind of announced before. My name is Mike Shear, Pastor Mike Shear. We begin in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So as my role of Director of Church Relations, I have the pleasure of also getting to bring you the greetings of President Schlimbert and his cabinet at the university, also from the faculty, the staff, the foundation department, and of course the students of Concordia University, who now not only are on campus in Portland, but actually exist all over the world. This morning we have some wonderful, talented students as well visiting with us and sharing their musical gifts, and they are a true blessing to the university and the campus life there, and of course to our worship service this morning. Mike Madison was also announced as here this morning. He's outside in the narthex at our display table, and he's here to answer any questions if you have any about the university or the foundation. He probably has more answers than I do at this point, since I've only been in this role for a few weeks now. But we are all here, and mostly I want to thank, on behalf of everyone who is here from Concordia, I want to thank you for allowing us to be here, for welcoming us into your worship this morning, and being with you today. One of the things the university does every year is they pick a passage of scripture, a verse or two of scripture, to kind of set the theme for the academic school year, and this year it is part of the reading we heard this morning from Romans chapter 8, where Paul is writing to that church in Rome, those very inspirational words. He's talking about the love of God and how we, as the followers of God, can never be separated from that love through Jesus Christ our Lord. Nothing can separate us, Paul says. And separation is kind of at the heart of this passage. And separation is something that personally I'm a little bit familiar with right now. I've been on this position for just a few weeks as the Director of Church Relations. And so I've moved here from Western Pennsylvania, a little town called Slippery Rock, Pennsylvania. Sometimes people know the university there and their football scores that used to come along when they used to scroll at the bottom of the TV. But Slippery Rock is a little town that I've lived in for 14 years, and my wife and our children, and two are grown children, but our family lives all back there. So I know a little bit about separation because I haven't had really much chance to see my family over the last few weeks. Being away from family is hard, it's difficult, and many of you have probably experienced some sort of separation from people in your lives that you love as well. Certainly, I know I've learned that many on the campus have come through that experience where they're like me and they took a position, they moved to campus, and then after a period of time, their family would move in and join them, whether that was days, weeks, or months later. So I know this is something that's not unique to myself, and certainly I know that our students who are on campus go through similar feelings of separation as they move away from their families and their friends that they grew up with and start a whole new life in college. I've also gained a great new appreciation for what our military families go through as they go through these long deployments and are separated as well. But through all these separations that come about in our lives, what Paul is saying to us is no matter how difficult those times may be, and no matter how separated we may feel from our loved ones, what Paul is saying is that we'll never be separated from God's love. Paul is saying that God's love is always going to be there for us, no matter what. No matter what we do, where we are, what we say, what this world brings about, we still have God's love. But Scripture also teaches us that there is something that separates us from God. Not His love, but from God Himself. And that thing that separates us from God is sin. It's like the separation I've been talking about between myself and my family, or that you may experience. Situations arise where we can't physically be with our family members, those people we love, physically. But we still love them, and that's the point, that we still love. I love my family, I just can't be with them right now. And that's what God's situation is. He loves all of us as His family, but He can't be with us because of sin. And that separation of sin between us and God came about all the way back in the Garden of Eden. It happened when Adam and Eve first sinned, and they realized they were naked. They hid themselves in their shame. And God, He knew that He couldn't be around them anymore once that happened. Once they sinned, God had to actually sacrifice animals and create clothing for them to wear so that they could hide from the sin or from the shame they had felt. God knew that He couldn't walk in their presence in the cool of the day as He had always done through that paradise of Eden anymore. And all of this happened not because God stopped loving Adam and Eve. He certainly continued to love Adam and Eve. In fact, He loved them so much, He needed to cast them out of the garden so that they wouldn't eat of the tree of life. He didn't want them to eat of that tree of eternal life and be condemned into their sin for eternity. So He said, get out. I'm putting up flaming swords. You can't touch that tree. You need to leave. And I can't be with you there. See, God loved them. He just needed to separate from the sin that we as people had. God loved them with that same love, in fact, that Paul is talking to us about this morning. It's that love that never ends. It's a love that is so deep. It's a love that's so wide that God Himself couldn't even stand to be separated from us forever. It's a love that compelled God to do the one thing that goes completely against His nature. God, who could not stand to be in the presence of sin, He decided to be born into sin and to take on our sin into Himself. See, God chose Himself to end that separation that sin brings about between Him and His creation. And He did so by sending His one and only Son into our lives to take on our death and to rise to new life. See, that's what this season of Epiphany that we're wrapping up now and heading into Lent, that's what it's really all about, is how we see God coming into our world and ending that separation. We see it going to Jesus at the baptism at the Jordan River, where He is declared the Son of God as John pours water on Him and the dove descends. We see Jesus going through the countryside, manifesting that power of God as He heals the sick and cures diseases and casts out demons and even controls the weather. Finally, in Epiphany season, we see Jesus going up on the mountain with His three disciples, James and John and Peter. He goes up to the Transfiguration Mountain and shows Himself in His fullness and glory as He stands there with Moses and Elijah. See, all of that was about God and man coming together on that mountain so that Jesus could speak of His death and resurrection. Because ultimately, that's where God ends this separation between us and Him. He ends it on the cross and through the empty tomb. And we know this through Christ's own word this morning, through John's Gospel. Today, we hear Jesus as He's praying that high priestly prayer up in the upper room, just hours before He would be tried and crucified. Jesus is up in that upper room with His disciples, all of them but Judas. Judas has already moved along. He's gone to do his deeds and receive his reward. But Jesus and His disciples are getting ready to go out to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. And that's where we know Jesus goes and He prays for Himself. But here in the upper room, before that happens, He prays for His disciples. He prays for His disciples who are going to run and hide and turn their backs on Him. And Jesus knows that they need this prayer. It's not just His disciples. Jesus knows as well that we need this prayer. The disciples and the followers of His church for all times. He knows that without this prayer, none of us are going to survive. And how could we? You see, this world is a world full of sin trying to draw us back away from Jesus. It's trying to separate us again from that love of God. But the good news that Paul tells us this morning is that it doesn't have to be this way. In fact, God has changed all of it. As we become followers of Jesus, God ends that separation for us. Jesus Himself makes it clear this morning, none of us are citizens of this world. This isn't our home. No, instead our home is in heaven. And as Christians, we live in this world just as Abraham did, as aliens and as strangers. Now our true home is with Jesus in his new creation that he's told us he's already gone and prepared for us. And so this prayer of Jesus, it continues even today. It continues because Jesus knows just how lost and alone we can be. Paul tells us that Jesus now, as the resurrected Savior, sits at the right hand of God and he intercedes for us. So we know that when those forces of evil come against us and we do commit sins, we know we have someone who now sits with us and sits at the Father's right hand and prays for us. He prays that we would be able to stand before God ourselves through the forgiveness he earns. He prays that we'll be protected from evil and from our own sinful desires. He prays that we'll take joy in the forgiveness that he's won for us. And he prays that all of us who are baptized into his name will be gathered together in one holy Christian church. And he prays that we'll be kept safe until he returns again. See, when he returns again, there we'll be called to gather together with him in the new Jerusalem, the place where we find our true home, our heavenly home. And that's why we never need to fear being separated from God. As difficult as our earthly separations from our loved ones might be, that's why we never need to fear, because God's love will never leave. That's why Paul speaks with such great confidence that there's nothing in this world that can separate us. And he gives such an extensive list. He starts with the most extreme, in fact, death itself. Death can't separate us. Life can't separate us. Nothing, the powers of heaven and earth, nothing in the present or in the future, all of it has no power over us and our relationship with God. Because in our baptism, God has sealed his love into our hearts, and by faith, he declares us all worthy to be in his presence. That's why nothing separates us from the love of God. Ultimately, it's because God himself has said, this is the way it's going to be. And our God, he is a God of truth. So we give thanks. We give thanks to this God who has ended the separation through his own everlasting love. And we rejoice. We rejoice in his Son, who has come to us and has separated us from the sinfulness of this world and brought us home to our heavenly Father. In the name of Jesus.